Hello and welcome once again. Oh, I'm so glad you could join me on this beautiful day. Well, maybe it's not beautiful where you are, but it's beautiful where Jesus is anyway. No, I wasn't inferring anything. No. Anyway, thank you for joining me. The title I've given my message today is a title that has a finality to it, you might say. The reason I say that is because I've called it the final hell. The final hell, where the worm dieth not. The worm, of course, being your mind. In other words, you're always aware. Some people think, well, if I die and go to hell, well, you know, I'll burn up and that's the end of it. Not so fast. That's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll get into this important message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for giving me these words to pass on, Lord. I pray that the hearers, Lord, that they'll listen carefully, their ears would be unstopped, Lord, and that the words that are spoken here today will find lodging in needy hearts, and that when all is said and done, Lord, people will be glad that they heard these precious truths from your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be glorified through it. For it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, the final hell. Where the worm dieth not? That's the title I've given the message. With a worm, well, of course, the worm is spoken of here, the mind. The mind, the thought pattern, you know, what's in your head, your noggin here? Yeah. Thank you for joining me. The final hell actually is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. It's called the final hell because it's where all life as we know it comes to an end. And where eternity actually begins. That's for all you now that don't know or don't want to know or don't want to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? How many times have you actually heard someone say concerning their job? Their job or life in general. Oh, man, this is a living hell. You've heard it, eh? I have. Well, in comparison to the lake of fire, your hell on earth, let me tell you this, it's a mere cakewalk. Yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. Whoa, stay tuned. You know, no one has ever visited the lake of fire. For if they had, well, they would not be able to come back. It's a place of great finality. The final hell is final. There's no return. There's no time to say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Come get me out of this fire, please. It's not going to work. No, it's not going to work. It's all over. No one has ever gone there and come back. Now, I know there was a movie called To Hell and Back with Audie Murphy, America's most decorated war hero, World War II. And it was called, like I say, To Hell and Back. But that's a different kind of hell. That's a hell on earth. It's not the hell in the earth, okay? So we should keep those two separated. Nobody comes back from the final hell. You might say, I saw the movie To Hell and Back, and Audie came back, like I said. Don't bank too highly on that. But the hell that the Bible speaks of, well, it will never take second place to any hell on earth. No matter what you go through upon this earth, can never be compared or even come a close second to the hell that's referred to in the Bible. Only Christ himself Only Christ himself knows how horrific the lake of fire really is. You see, it was he, Jesus Christ, it was he who made the final hell. Now, he didn't make it for his saints. He didn't make it for you and I if we're saved. No, he made it for those Christ rejectors, those who don't believe, those who have their own opinion what hell is like, perhaps. He didn't make it for us. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Sure you are. He didn't make it for you and I or anyone on this earth, actually, to begin with. He made it for, now get this, hell was actually made for the devil and his angels, which includes, of course, the beast and the false prophet. Are you listening? Well, listen carefully. The lake of fire is not a place of total annihilation, but a place of everlasting, and I underscore that, everlasting torment. At the end of the great tribulation period, when the devil, that old devil, has finished his evil reign on the earth, well, he will join you, if that's where you're going, he will join you in the lake of fire, which will be burning with brimstone. Fire and brimstone. You know who the devil is, don't you? Well, if you're not saved, you should know who he is, because you work for him every day. You do all the things that are pleasing to him, so you must have some sort of an idea who the devil is. Sure you do. You know who the devil is. You've heard of Satan, haven't you? And you've heard of Lucifer, haven't you? They have a few different names. They're all the same. Satan is also described as the dragon, that old serpent. The very word Satan, well, it means accuser. Accuser. All right, he loves to accuse people. He's the one that actually brought death into the world. Before that, there was no death. People weren't meant to die. But Satan is God's greatest enemy. You know who Satan is? Well, he's Lucifer. He got kicked out of heaven, story goes, but that's another message. We'll get there. I have one on my website. You can check it out. Or you can wait until you hear one here over Just Jesus Radio. By the way, you know, I'm really pleased with what I'm hearing here on Just Jesus Radio, because it's so close to God. Excuse me. I love the messages that are deployed here every day. I love to hear this I love that Southern gospel music. I just love everything about it. And it reaches you. It's on the World Wide Web. Just Jesus Radio. Anyway, getting back to the message. How important is the message? Well, you'll see before it's finished. Like I said, that Satan is God's greatest enemy. He tells the world it can be saved by war. Well, isn't that nice? And if this fails, then you can be saved by a good education. Or reformation and religion. But before the final hell, Satan will actually be bound, yes, tied up, and cast into the bottomless pit. But, there's always a but, huh? But he will be loosed a short time. He will be loosed a short time. When he will quickly gather all his believers in a subsequent attempt to defeat God and his son. But who's the best? Who's superior? who knows all, can do all. It's God, isn't it? It's God. You see, Satan has made numerous attempts to defeat God, and he's always failed. God finally threw him into the pit to get him out of his way. He's a nuisance, isn't he? But he allowed him to stay there. He allowed him to exist because people have to know that there's a difference between heaven and hell. And they have to know that there's a one way to heaven and every other way points to hell. And they have to understand. They have to repent and believe in that. During this time, many who dwell upon the earth, who had not given their lives over to Christ and been born again, but think they are saved, will be revealed. They will be revealed, but all too late, I'm afraid. God will reveal them as desperately wicked. You know, some people kind of say, well, I might be wicked, but I'm not desperately wicked. Well, in God's eyes, if you're wicked, you're desperately wicked. There's no fine line there where you can say, oh, yeah, well, I lie a little, I cheat a little, but at least I don't go out raping young girls and go killing people and stuff. You're still desperately wicked in the eyes of God. Have you got that? First and second resurrections. Now, this is very important. First and second resurrections. The next part I want to touch on actually deals with the second resurrections. Pardon me, the first and second resurrections. Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6 and 13. Now, if you want to open your Bible there and follow along, fine. If not, you may just listen and I'll deliver the words. And Revelation 20, 5, 6, and 16, here they are. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the 1,000 millennial year reign. Millennial reign, okay? Now, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no more power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wow. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now that's people who are in hell waiting for God to judge them, right? Okay. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. In other words, there are measures, degrees of, you know, judgment in hell. Okay? Some may suffer worse than others. Really don't know all the details, but who wants to go there anyway and examine it and find out for yourself? And just add on verse 14, which says very clearly, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Wow. You know, it's fallacy to believe in a general resurrection of all men at the end of the world. That's a fallacy. Now listen carefully. John 5. Verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. We're talking about Jesus' voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil, you ready? Unto the resurrection of damnation. Damnation. Hey, that's scary stuff. That's scary stuff. These two resurrections will be 1,000 years apart. Wow. The first resurrection, well, it takes place at the rapture. At the rapture. You know, that's when Christ comes in the clouds, and we are called up to be with him, meet him in the air, and there shall we always be with the Lord. That's the rapture. All right? You got that? When the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who have preceded us are in the graves now that are saved, belong to Christ. Now, their spirit has already gone to heaven. They are in heaven, actually. But their bodies, which are in the grave, will be raised and changed. That's important, that word, changed, like unto his body. Okay? So you won't be walking around like a spirit and nobody will be able to see you except God. No, you will have a body, a changed body, like his. And what more could you ask for? Wow. The damned will be resurrected at the great white throne judgment, though. Those are the Christ rejecters, right? When death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If your name's not written in the book of life, you will move to the second death. The second death. Total. Totally. As my dear brother in the Lord, Perry Walkwood, so aptly put it, and how simple it is. He said, you are either saved or lost. You are either on your way to heaven or on the road to hell. You are on the narrow road or the broad road. You have either received Christ or rejected Christ. The choice is yours to make. We all make a choice. Even today, will determine, the choice you make will determine your eternal welfare. So, if you say, well, I'm thinking about it, and I might just do that, you know, sounds pretty good to me. But I ain't finished living yet. I got a few things I want to do, and it might not be pleasing unto the Lord. But what happens if tomorrow you drop dead? You take a heart attack. And you haven't made that decision for Christ. You know where you're going? Oh, yeah. You're going down there where the fire's pretty hot. That's where you're going. And you will never be able to come back from that. No way. In the book of Revelation 21, Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. The final two chapters of Revelation deal with the last great vision. Verses 1 to 8 tell us about the new heaven and the new earth, while Revelation 22:5 tells us about the holy city of God. You know what it's called? Some of you do. The New Jerusalem, right? The New Jerusalem. And also with the end of time and the beginning of eternity, the beginning of eternity with God, with Jesus. Well, with the sin issue covered, we will deal with seven new things. Firstly, now you've heard so much about this, you've heard it over and over and over again. Old things are now past. Behold, all things have become new. A new heaven, a new earth, new inhabitants, the new Jerusalem, a new light, a new temple, a new paradise. We say new because, why? The former things have passed away. They're gone. When John saw the new heaven and the new earth, it does not mean that the first heaven and earth were destroyed. No. This simply means that the heaven and the earth underwent a great change. For they will be redeemed by the hand of God. They will. There will be a great cleansing and purifying in the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the heavens and the earth are kept and purged by God, by God's fire against the day of judgment. You'll find that in 2 Peter 3, verse 7, if you want to look it up. The judgment of ungodly men will take place at the great white throne judgment, as depicted in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And in that day, the old heaven and the old earth will flee away. Have you got that? In that day, the old heaven and the old earth will flee away. People, this world we live in is a world filled with tears and sorrow and heartbreak. But when we enter the New Jerusalem, all these sorrows will be wiped away. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Try if you will, to think about the children of Israel as they journeyed towards the promised land. Their great trials they had, their heartaches, their afflictions. So it is with the Christian journey from the cross to heaven. We don't know what we'll be going through yet. Many of us welcome death even early because of what's going on in the world today. Many of these burdens and afflictions, they must go through the believers' minds. Those who believe in Christ, they must think about them. I know I do. I beg of you, brothers and sisters, stand firm, hold the faith. The Lord of hosts is with thee. There's a wonderful reward across the river. If we should die before the Lord cometh, which is the more perfect way, then will our journey be shortened in the rapture. Something here that Spurgeon wrote, I'd like to read to you in closing. Spurgeon wrote, "My dear friends, there are many of you who have loved ones who are already in the grave, waiting for the Lord's return for his saints. One day, those dead in Christ shall be lifted up to meet the Lord in the air, as shall we, his living saints. Our body shall be changed like unto his glorious body, and taken directly to our new home in glory, where there shall be no more death. There will be no need for circles of flowers or mansions in the sky, nor will there be graves on the hillsides of heaven, or any obituary columns in the newspapers, or funeral processions on the streets of gold. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death, the last enemy to be destroyed, will join the false prophet and the devil in the lake of fire. A small boy with a dog asked me, 'I had before explained about heaven and how wonderful it will be, and that the only way to reach heaven was by repenting and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he wanted to know was, will Rusty, his dog, go to heaven too?' It wasn't easy telling him that there's no mention in the Bible about dogs going to heaven. He was so saddened. But he understood, especially when I told him, 'Hey, they don't go to hell either.'" In closing, In closing, tell me, are you absolutely sure beyond any doubt that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you? It's not just a matter of life and death, but it's also a matter of sharing eternity with Jesus in glory, or suffering for all eternity with the devil in hell. The choice is yours. My friends, if you're not sure about how to relate to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the easiest thing you could ever do. God made it easy. He made it simple. It was Christ who did all the suffering and took all the legwork. Oh, yes. God made it easy for us. That's why we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent and believe. Now repent, don't get all worked up about repent. People are always arguing that repent doesn't mean anything. Repentance is as defined by God. It's a turning. You're going that way, you turn around and you go God's way. In other words, if you took repentance out, it would be like, hey, I can still get saved, you know, and keep on living the way I'm living. No, you can't. Because once you become a child of the King, truly a child of the King, you won't feel like doing those things that you've been doing all along, like going out with the gang and maybe having a night of drinking, or maybe gallivanting around with the opposite sex. You know, there's so many things out there that you realize they're not that important anymore. And they are an abomination in the eyes of God. Now you might say, well, I don't know if I can do that, if I can stop doing all those things. Well, you know, it's the same with all of us. I remember when I got saved, I thought the same thing. Well, I was a drinker. I was a blasphemer, I guess, in some ways. And I really didn't believe the way I should. But I learned something very important. Trust in God. Give your life fully over to him. Things will work out, you'll see. They'll work out the way God wants them to work out. And you will one day be with him in glory. That's food for thought. Please, give it some thought. Thank you for listening. I pray you'll tune in again next time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.